So last Sunday in our journey through the Pilgrim's Progress, we saw Christian and his fair weather friend Pliable tumble into that dark and dirty slough of despond. And of course, that was a place where the conviction of sin will either repel someone away from the help they need, like it did for Pliable. He didn't want anything to do with that feeling. Or else it will compel someone to see their need for help, like it did for Christian. And of course, he got the help that he needed. So when help finally came, in Bunyan's words, he gave him his hand, and he drew him out, and he set him on solid ground, and bid him go on his way. And the rest of what we looked at last Sunday was a conversation between the dreamer of this dream and help. Because Pilgrim was back on his journey. So when you come to the last paragraph of page 6 in our books, we find Christian again on his way. So we're going to read through page 8. Now as Christian was walking solitarily by himself, he espied one afar off come crossing over the field to meet him. And their hap was to meet just as they were crossing the way of each other. The gentleman's name that met him was Mr. Worldly Wiseman. He dwelt in the town of Carnal Policy, a very great town, and also hard by from whence Christian came. This man, then, meeting with Christian and having some inkling of him, for Christian setting forth from the city of destruction was much noised abroad, not only in the town where he dwelt, but also it began to be the town's talk in some other places. Master Worldly Wiseman, therefore, having some guess of him, by beholding his laborious going, by observing his sighs and groans and the like, began thus to enter into some talk with Christian. "How now, good fellow? Whither away after this burdened manner?" "A burdened manner indeed, as ever, I think, poor creature had. And whereas you ask me whither away, I tell you, sir, I am going to yonder wicket gate before me, for there, as I am informed, I shall be put into a way to be rid of my heavy burden." "Hast thou a wife and children?" "Yes, but I am so laden with this burden that I cannot take that pleasure in them as formerly. Methinks I am as if I had none." "Wilt thou hearken unto me if I give thee counsel?" "If it be good, I will, for I stand in need of good counsel." "I would advise thee, then, that thou with all speed get thyself rid of thy burden, for thou wilt never be settled in thy mind till then, nor canst thou enjoy the benefits of the blessing which God hath bestowed upon thee till then." "That is that which I seek for, even to be rid of this heavy burden. But get it off myself, I cannot. Nor is there any man in our country that can take it off my shoulders. Therefore, I am going this way, as I told you, that I may be rid of my burden." "Who bid you go this way to be rid of thy burden?" "A man that appeared to me to be a very great and honorable person. His name, as I remember, is Evangelist." "I beshrew him for his counsel. There is not a more dangerous and troublesome way in the world than is that unto which he hath directed thee. And that thou shalt find, if thou wilt be ruled by his counsel. Thou hast met with something, as I perceive already, for I see the dirt of the slough of despond is upon thee. But that slough is the beginning of the sorrows that do attend those that go on in that way. Hear me, I am older than thou. Thou art like to meet with on the way which thou goest wearisomeness, painfulness, hunger, perils, nakedness, sword, lions, dragons, darkness, and in a word, death, and whatnot. These things are certainly true, having been confirmed by many testimonies. And why should a man so carelessly cast away himself by giving heed to a stranger? Why, sir, this burden upon my back is more terrible to me than are all these things which you have mentioned. Nay, methinks I care not what I meet with in the way, if so be I can also meet with deliverance from my burden. How camest thou by the burden at first? By reading this book in my hand. I thought so. And it has happened unto thee, as to other weak men, who, meddling with things too high for them, do suddenly fall into thy distractions, which distractions do not only unman men, as thine, I perceive, has done thee, but they run them upon desperate ventures to obtain they know not what. I know what I would obtain. It is ease for my heavy burden. But why wilt thou seek for ease this way, seeing so many dangers attend it? Especially since, hadst thou but patience to hear me, I could direct thee to the obtaining of what thou desirest, without the dangers that thou in this way wilt run thyself into. Yea, and the remedy is at hand. Besides, I will add, that instead of those dangers, thou shalt meet with much safety, friendship, and content. Pray, sir, open this secret to me. Why, in yonder village, the village is named Morality, there dwells a gentleman whose name is Legality, a very judicious man, and a man of a very good name, that has skill to help men off with such burdens as thine are from their shoulders. Yea, to my knowledge, he hath done a great deal of good this way. Aye, and besides, he hath skill to cure those that are somewhat crazed in their wits with their burdens. To him, as I said, thou mayest go and be helped presently. His house is not quite a mile from this place, and if he should not be at home himself, he hath a pretty young man to be his son, whose name is Civility, that can do it, to speak on, as well as the old gentleman himself. There, I say, thou mayest be eased of thy burden. And if thou art not minded to go back to thy former habitation, as indeed I would not wish thee, thou mayest send for thy wife and children to thee, to this village, where there are houses now stand empty, one of which thou mayest have at reasonable rates. Provision is there also, cheap and good. And that which will make thy life the more happy is, to be sure, there thou shalt live by honest neighbors in credit and good fashion. Now was Christian somewhat at a stand. But presently he concluded, if this be true, which this gentleman hath said, my wisest course is to take his advice. And with that, he thus further spoke. Sir, which is my way to this honest man's house? Do you see yonder hill? Yes, very well. By that hill you must go, and the first house you come at is his. We'll stop there. So on this part of Christian's journey, we meet up with a new character, don't we? By the name of Mr. Worldly Wiseman. And the first description that we are given about this man is that he is a gentleman. A gentleman. You can kind of get that sense as you're reading through that passage. And I think that might have made a big impression on our pilgrim, because he was nothing like that gentleman. After all, Christian, even though, remember, that's his name, but that's not his condition at this point. Christian was still slumped over because of the burden of his sin. And the rags that were his clothes were much worse now, since they were still bedaubed. Remember that word from last week? I like that word. Bedaubed with the muck and mire of the slough. So he was dirtier and grimier than when he started out. He must have been quite the sight to that gentleman. But as Bunyan tells us, he also observed Christian's sighs and groans. So he knew something about him. He couldn't ignore him. He had to say something to him. So along came that gentleman, polished and proper. And we will see perceptive and very persuasive. But the first clue as to the true nature of this man, Mr. Worldly Wiseman, is given in the first paragraph we read, when we are told that their hap was to meet just as they were crossing the way of each other. So what do we find here with these paths? The paths of these two men crossed each other. It was a place where two ways met. They weren't on parallel tracks, they were on opposite tracks. They were both headed in very different and very distant directions from each other. So who is this Mr. Worldly Wiseman? He represents what Paul calls in 1 Corinthians 3:19, the wisdom of this world. In fact, why don't you open your Bibles there first with me, 1 Corinthians 3:19. I'd like to read verses 18 and 19, because I think this gives us a picture of who this man is. 1 Corinthians 3:18 and 19, where Paul says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness." So Mr. Worldly Wiseman represents the wisdom of this world. And to our pilgrim, as it says there in verse 18, this man was someone who seemed to be wise in this world. And I think Mr. Worldly Wiseman seemed to himself to be wise in this world. So for Christian, and even for too many of us today, he found that there is a great appeal in the wisdom of this world. There is a great appeal to it. It draws us. It's attractive to us. Because in Christian's sad plight, Mr. Worldly Wiseman seemed to offer better things than what God had offered him through his book and what God had offered him through what evangelists said to him. He first seemed to offer a better point to Christian, a better point to Christian. When Christian agreed to hear his counsel, Mr. Worldly Wiseman said this, "I would advise thee then that thou with all speed get thyself rid of thy burden." Now, when I first read that, I thought, man, that's pretty obvious. He's just basically telling him what he already knows that he needs. But there's a bit more subtlety to that advice from Mr. Worldly Wiseman. Really, a lot of the wisdom of this world we might consider to be common sense, basic information, something that everybody should know. But even though this is what Christian wanted all along, what was the advice of Evangelist when he first met up with him? Evangelist told Christian, "Fly from the wrath to come." He saw the same burden that Mr. Worldly Wiseman did. Mr. Worldly Wiseman said, "Get rid of the burden at all costs, as fast as you can." But not Evangelist. He said, "Flee from the wrath to come." If anything, Evangelist's advice to Christian would have added to his burden. Wait a second. You mean I've got this burden on my back, and I've got destruction that I have to run from? So the advice of this gentleman sounded so much more appealing. It's exactly what he wanted. It addressed Christian's felt need. That's what I needed to hear. That's what I want most. But that burden and feeling of guilt, you know what it was? It was actually a gift to Christian. It was placed there by God through His Word to reveal to Christian his greatest need. The greatest need of Christian was not just relief, which is so much what the world tries to offer, just to put a Band-Aid over it, or just to offer relief from that pressure, from that burden. But what he needed was true rescue from that burden. And that can only come through Jesus Christ. That's the difference between the advice of Mr. Worldly Wiseman and the advice of Evangelist. So truly, it was the Evangelist who made the better point and gave the better advice to Christian. I like what George Cheever once wrote about this. He says, Evangelist had directed Christian to Christ. He said, "Flee to the wicket gate." Because when you go there, when you go through that narrow gate and you knock on the door of Christ, you will find the, not relief, but the rescue that you need. So Evangelist directed Christian to Christ. He did not tell him to get rid of his burden, but to go to Christ, and Christ would remove it in good time. The world says, try to salve your conscience as much as you can, as easy as you can. Don't worry about the rest of it. But evangelist says, go to Christ. But at this point, Christian, again, was not yet a Christian. He was ready to try anything to get relief from the burden of his guilt. And so, second, Mr. Worldly Wiseman also seemed to offer a better path for Christian. A better path. This gentleman seemed to know quite a bit about this path that Christian was on, perhaps because at one time he too had started down that narrow path. There's a lot of people in this world that have started that path and never finished. But like Pliable, that fair weather friend of Christian's, that path turned out to be more difficult than he wanted it to be. So what did Mr. Worldly Wiseman do? He would have turned out of the way. But it's interesting. Mr. Worldly Wiseman didn't go all the way back like Pliable did to the city of destruction, because there were some things that he liked about that path that Christian was on. For example, he probably liked some of the respectable people that he met. Maybe on that path there were a couple of churches that he visited, and he liked the company of those people. They were good, honest folk. Or maybe some of the places that he went to were clean and civil. And so instead of going all the way back to the city of destruction, which to him might at that point seem like Sodom and Gomorrah, he found his way to another town called the town of Carnal Policy. And that place was far more sophisticated, far more civil. But that town, just like the city of destruction, just like the town of morality, they were all on the outside of the wicket gate. In other words, they were outside of Christ. You know, there's a lot of roads that lead to perdition. There's a lot of roads that lead to hell. And some of those roads may seem like Sodom and Gomorrah. Others of those roads seem very civil and sophisticated. There will be a lot of civil and sophisticated people in hell, just like a lot of people that are terrible sinners that we found in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not about civility. It's not about the town that you live in. It's about that gate. It's about the door. It's about Christ. And so to follow the path that Christian was on for Mr. Worldly Wiseman was far too dangerous, far too inconvenient for him. He described it, did you notice? He described it as a way of wearisomeness, painfulness, hunger, perils, nakedness, sword, lions, dragons, darkness, and in a word, death and whatnot. Any of those words sound familiar? It's almost as if he was quoting the Apostle Paul. In a couple places, in 2 Corinthians, he's telling us about what he went through for Christ, but another place also in Romans 8. In fact, why don't you go there with me, since we've been into this passage not too long ago in our study through Romans. Apostle Paul describes so many of the dangers that he faced in his life and his service for Christ. And some of those are related here, like hunger and perils and nakedness and sword. But Mr. Worldly Wiseman forgot the most important part of that path, didn't he? He forgot the most important part of what it means to be a Christian. Look at Romans 8:35, where Paul asks, similar to what Mr. Worldly Wiseman says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? So yes, that pathway is dangerous. That pathway can be difficult. That pathway can be challenging. But it's not about the path, it's about the person. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's the best part of the path. Well, Paul answers that in verses 37 through 39, familiar verses to us. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So you know that wearisomeness, that painfulness, that hunger, those perils, that nakedness, that sword, lions, dragons, darkness, oh my, all of those things? It's only temporary. It won't last forever. Paul says we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, he goes on, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Mr. Worldly Wiseman didn't get the best part. Because when you are going through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil. Because God is there. God is present with those who are His. So Mr. Worldly Wiseman thought he was offering Christian a better path, a safer path. But you know, the path that leads through the love of Christ is truly the safest path of all. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Not any of those things. But Christian didn't fully realize that yet, did he? So his new friend seemed to also offer, number three, a better peace for Christian. By the way, this new friend, did you catch how he slighted Evangelist? He said, "Are you going to listen to the advice of a stranger?" Well, who did Mr. Worldly Wiseman think he was at that point? He too was a stranger, and yet he was offering his own advice. But he seemed to offer to Christian still a better peace, even a quick peace or an easy peace. He told Christian this: the remedy is at hand. The remedy for your burden is right here. The remedy for your burden is at hand. But isn't this really what anyone with any kind of sickness loves to hear? The remedy is at hand. I'm sure that is what the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years thought in Mark 5, when in Mark 5, 26, she had suffered many things of the physicians, remember? And spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. But over those 12 years, what did the doctors keep telling her? The remedy is at hand. The remedy is at hand. Here, try this medicine. This will help for sure. Or try this therapy. This is going to cure you. Or try this essential oil. I mean, that's this day and age, right? Try this, try this, try that. And after years of her life disappeared as quickly as her money, the Bible says that she was nothing bettered. What happened to the remedy? Thought it was at hand. Well, this is what Worldly Wiseman was offering to Christian. You know, the remedy is right here, just around the corner. It's just not even a mile from here in this other village. Well, you know what Jesus tells us where true peace lies? It's in Him. If you go to John chapter 14, the Gospel of John 14, verse 27, what does Jesus say? He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's all Christian had to do, was keep running to the wicket gate. Keep running to the place where he will find true peace in Christ. Now, when that woman with the issue of blood in Mark touched the garment of Jesus, in that instant, in that moment, what happened? She knew her remedy was in her hand. She touched it. She touched Him. And so it would be for Christian, and really, so it will be for anyone who seeks to touch Jesus and trust in Him with faith. Just like that woman did. "Woman, thy faith hath made thee whole." But again, Christian, only in name only, was not quite ready for that. So Mr. Worldly Wiseman again seemed to offer something else that was better. A better provision for Christian. Number four, a better provision. Even something that's inexpensive and cheap. He told Christian about the town of Morality and how there are houses that now stand empty, one of which thou mayest have at reasonable rates. And we're all looking for that, right? Even though prices keep going up and up and up and up, we're always looking for the bargain. He says, "Oh, you may have the at reasonable rates. Provision is there, cheap and good." Oh, that was appealing to Pilgrim. That was appealing to him because he was poor, dirt poor. He was tired, I'm sure. He was ready for a place to stay. He was lonely, and he was ragged. But even though at times you may get a true bargain, I know some people that are really good at that, a lot of times the old adage is true: you get what you pay for. That happens to me a lot, especially when it comes to electronic items. You might get a particular cable to be using for the sound system. Well, sometimes you get what you pay for. You go cheap and it doesn't last or it doesn't work. You get something a little more expensive, it usually does. It's built better. But you know, when it comes to spiritual things, the best things come at the highest cost. Now, we all know eternal life is a free gift to those who believe in Christ. But even that freedom that we have in Christ was not free. It came at the highest cost, didn't it? Go to 1 Peter 1 in your Bibles. 1 Peter 1. Because Peter tells us just how costly the freedom and forgiveness that believers have is. 1 Peter 1:18, Peter writes, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." There is no higher cost that could have been paid for the cleansing and saving of Christian soul than the blood of Jesus Christ. But to then turn aside to a place where rate seemed more reasonable, know what happened to him? It would eventually cost him his own life besides. But perhaps one other question should have come to his mind before Christian made up his mind to take Mr. Wiseman's advice. Why were there so many houses standing empty in that village of morality? Why was the supply there so much greater than the demand? I mean, that would have been one of my questions. The provision seemed so much better. But if the location of that village was built on top of an old toxic landfill, how many citizens would have gotten sick and died all because the rates were reasonable? The provision was cheap and good. We're going to see that that mountain upon which the town of morality sits is a toxic hill. But at this point, Christian was still blind to all this. So it all seemed to him so much better than the path that he was on. And so, Mr. Worldly Wiseman tried to show Christian that his way also offered a better promise. A better promise. You know, the wisdom of this world wants you to think that the here and now is far better than the there and later, right? It's all about the here and now and not the then and later. The advice that evangelist gave to Christian was ridiculed by Mr. Worldly Wiseman. He told Christian that his book caused him to run desperate ventures to obtain they know not what. You know, that's what the world often thinks of Christians. And perhaps they think that of you. People that you know, people that are loved ones, people that you work with, and you think, why on earth would you spend an entire day of your weekend in a building with other people at a church? Why would you do that? I mean, what a waste of a day, right? They think that you are running desperate ventures to obtain what you do not know. But Christian had the right answer. He goes, I know what I'm after. I'm trying to get rid of my burden. And I have these promises that I'm looking at and looking to. But what does Mr. Worldly Wiseman say? His advice would bring to Christian much safety, he says, friendship and content. And isn't that what the world so often appeals to us about? Oh, you can get safety. You can have more friends. You can be content. And even more, he said, if you go to this hilltop town of morality, oh, you can be reunited with your beloved family. And so again, all these are good things. All these are wholesome things. None of these are necessarily bad things. But it's more about the here and now instead of the then and later. Again, Mr. Worldly Wiseman says to him, you may send for your wife and children to thee in this village of morality. So the wisdom of this age wants you to think that what you can see and feel is what is best. What you can see and feel is where it's at. But what does the Apostle Paul remind us? Go back with me now to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. This is what the Apostle Paul reminds Christian pilgrims like us. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, those are eternal. That's really where it's at. You're not going on some desperate venture. You know where you're headed. But the here and now is still so appealing, isn't it? It's so compelling. and it was for Christian. And so, as we will begin reading next week, sadly, Christian takes the advice of Mr. Worldly Wiseman and turned out of his way. So they met where two places were. Christian was going one way, and now he's going the other. So as we close tonight, does the wisdom of this world appeal to you in those same ways? There's a lot more that we can glean from this episode and his journey. But does the wisdom of this world appeal to you in these ways? Does it seem like what the world has to offer you is better than what God has offered you? Sometimes it may feel that way. Sometimes it might feel like the world's way is a better, safer way, a better, safer path. Or maybe the world gives you a better and easier peace. You know, it just gives you the relief that you need and not necessarily the rescue. Or maybe it just offers better, cheaper provision. But even that comes at a cost, doesn't it? Or maybe it offers a better promise. Or some people think it does. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 3:19, this is what Paul tells us about the wisdom of this world. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Foolishness. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. The wisdom of this world is not safer. The wisdom of this world is not easier. And the wisdom of this world is certainly not cheaper in the end. Because even as Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The wisdom of this world is not better. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you again for showing us the difference between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of your word, the wisdom of your book, the book that we all have in our hands even tonight, the book that Christian had in his hand that directed him to the true path, the path that would lead him not on some desperate venture, but on a true adventure, an adventure that would lead to the celestial city where there would be eternal happiness and fellowship with his Savior Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that tonight that you will help us to see the danger and not just the appeal to the wisdom of this world and to the ways of this world. Because, Lord, so often that is what we are drawn to because of our human nature. We're attracted to those things. We like things that are easy. We like things that are comfortable. We like things that are light. We like things that are cheap. We like a good bargain. But, Lord, we realize, as your followers, that true safety, true peace, true love, true help can only come from you, can only come from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just about the relief, but about the true rescue that we need. We are in a desperate situation because of our sin. And so we have that burden, and Lord, we realize that that burden can be a gift. It is a gift from you because it shows us our greatest need. And so, Father, I pray that we will not leave the path that we are on, the path that has been blazed by countless pilgrims who are now part of that great cloud of witnesses that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11, that show to us and testify to us that, yes, sometimes it is challenging, sometimes it's dangerous, sometimes it's downright deadly, but it leads to the safety and the peace that can only come in the arms of Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that if we are being lured or attracted by the appeal of the wisdom of this world, I ask, O Lord, that you will show us the greater wisdom that we find in you, the greater wisdom that we find in Christ, the greater wisdom that we find in your word, and keep on this path. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.